We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Scott Girard, and hey, thank you so much for downloading, subscribing, and leaving good feedback. Let us know what you'd like to hear more of and what we can do to make your experience a little bit better on this podcast. I know it's kind of a weird time with the coronavirus and kind of a weird world we're living in right now, but we can still provide great content for you, get your Aggie fix at least once a week, and let us know if there's anything else you'd like to hear from over this next stretch. All right, we're going to continue on our series of talking to players that are preparing to take that next jump, whether it be in the NFL and in professional football. And three players that obviously made a huge impact this last season. First off, we're going to start with one of our favorites and a overall good human being who made an appearance on Last Chance U on Netflix and transitioned into a college degree and hopefully a spot in the National Football League. DJ Williams. We'll also check in with Gerald Bright and then wrap things up with COC Mariner in his 1 year with Utah State, having nearly 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns on the year. Just a tremendous season for COC Mariner. But first, we start with DJ Williams. All right, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast as we take a look at some of the players that are now moving on to play professionally and hopefully earn some big money along the way. DJ Williams, kind enough to join us, one of our favorites. DJ, first off, where are you at these days trying to live in this new weird world we're living in right now?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now. I just got back here like a week ago. I was in Tampa, Florida like the whole time training for the pro day before I got canceled. But I'm currently in Nashville, a little small town called Smyrna. That's where I'm from. Back here just with the family right now.
So how hard is it to try to get work in and prepare for the draft and camps and stuff like that?
I mean, it's pretty hard because, you know, all the gyms closed. But, I mean, thankfully, you know, I got a friend that, you know, got a weight room in the garage. So that's been very close to me, and that's really where I've been working out at.
What was it like before all this stuff hit, you know, and some of the work you were doing and trying to prepare? What were some of the things you were working on?
Man, it was really the hardest, like workouts I've ever done in my life, and really, like, one of the, you know, longest days I've ever had in my life. I was in Tampa, like I said. I mean, the main thing that, you know, you really focus on is that 40. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of teams really want to see, you know, players run a 40. You know, for some reason, I guess that's just, like, something that's really important to them. So, you know, a lot of things we worked on with just the running techniques. So you honestly can't get nobody really faster. I mean, you can improve, like, their running skills and technique, and that'll get you a faster time. And that's a lot of things that we, you know, we did. So, really just focusing on speed drills.
I know some guys were out there, and in fact, we talked to David Woodward. He went out to a high school and kind of filmed a pro day. Were you able to do anything like that, or are you just kind of having to settle in with where you're at right now?
Yeah, no, I got a little pro day like that too. It was a little private pro day here in Nashville.
Yeah.
It was actually ran by a former Titan scout, so that was actually cool, you know, just to get, like, legitimate times and, you know, just had that reliable source, so. It was definitely good just to have you know, a former scout out there, but I did do that as well.
All right, so let's talk about obviously the last couple of years at Utah State and what that meant for you. What was your Aggie experience like overall?
Man, it was a blessing. I mean, I thank God for it every day. I really represent, you know, Utah State even now, man. I love wearing my Utah State shirt, and, you know, I love just telling people I went to Utah State, man. It was definitely great. I got to play with some great players. I got to play under a lot of great coaches. You know, I got to meet a lot of great people in the community like you and just, you know, other people. And it just definitely been a blessing to me, and I'm always be thankful for Aggie Nation.
Well, you know, and that's the fun part, too, is you sent out a tweet a few months ago about getting your diploma. And I believe you said, were you the first in your family to get a college degree?
No, I actually was not the first in my family. I did graduate from my mom. My mom actually graduated from college as well.
Okay.
So that definitely felt good. You know, coming from a junior college, and just that little long road that I had to go through.
Was there a moment where you were in junior college and you felt like, man, maybe this might not work for me, or maybe I might not be able to play college at a high level? Or did you always feel like you just needed the right opportunity to be successful?
Man, honestly, I always knew that I was going to be successful. I mean, I never thought, like, oh, man, this won't work out. Even when, you know, I didn't have any offers in JUCO, even when I was, like, a two-star, like, I always knew that I was, you know, honestly, you know, not trying to sound cocky, but, you know, I always knew that I had it in me, man. I always knew that, you know, I was better than a lot of people, not even just because of my talent, but I knew that my mindset was just way, way advanced than other people around me. Like, I knew that was going to always separate me. You know, I always knew that I was going to be successful.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about that confidence level. You kind of have to have that high level of confidence to play that position at the collegiate level, do you not?
You definitely have to have that confidence here. I mean, defensive back, that's one of those positions, like, you know, you kind of on your own, honestly. I mean, sometimes you got help, but it's either, like, sink or drown. I mean, like, you just got to do what you got to do. I mean, just to even just have a good game, and just, you got to have that confidence, and you got to believe in yourself. I mean, it'd be times when people, you know, talk bad about you or say you're not good, and, you know, there's a lot of things said about you. You got to either just, you know, believe in yourself and believe in what they say. And if you believe in what they say, you know, it's about 90% chance that, you know, your career won't go good. So you definitely have to have confidence.
I remember talking to a member of Coach Wells' staff when you came on board, and we were talking about the season. And they said, you got to watch this guy because he's got a chance to make a huge impact right away. And certainly that was the case. What was it about when you came in? Did you feel like you were going to be able to make your presence felt pretty quickly when you got here to Logan?
Oh, yeah, I already knew. Like I said, man, I always knew that I was going to be successful in that. And junior college, all I needed was an opportunity. So, you know, when Utah State blessed me with that, you know, I just ran with it. I mean, I didn't care, like, that I came in third string and, you know, all that. I was just happy to be there, and I was thankful for the opportunity, because at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. You know, once I got that opportunity, you know, it was just like history after that. I mean, I just made the most out of it.
Do people still ask you about Last Chance U?
Yeah, a lot of people do, actually. You know, a couple of people that, you know, been interviewing me lately, you know, ask me about that. You know, it's kind of cool to actually talk about that. That's one thing I never forget.
Yeah, that was what was that like, though, to go through a college football experience and have the cameras everywhere?
Man, it was actually kind of normal. Get used to it, honestly, so, you know, you don't really think twice about it. But, man, I think that was one of the, you know, most talented teams I've ever played with, honestly. You know, you just look down the roster and look at all the people that, you know, went on the D1s that did good, or, you know, even D2s that did good. And then you even look at the coaching staff, you know. A lot of people on those coaching staffs are at D1s now, or at D2s. And that whole team was just full of talent when you talk about the players and the coaches. And I never forget that team for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So tell me about your degree. What did you graduate in?
I graduated in sociology. I graduated in December, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just plan, when I get done playing, you know, I plan for right now. I got a couple things in mind, but I don't know, one of the things that I actually want to do is coach. I don't know if I want to do that, you know, in college or high school. You know, I just want to be able to feed into other people that, you know, love this game. So that's one thing I want to do.
That's awesome. That is so good to hear. DJ Williams kind enough to join us as he gets ready. So, what are the next couple of weeks for you like? I know we got the draft in next week. What are you hearing, and what do you think next week's going to be like for you?
I mean, you know, you hear a lot of different things, so you never know. I mean, I got a couple calls with some teams, you know, just, you know, asking, you know, background. You know, sometimes it'd be just a phone call to just ask what the closest airport to you. You know, it's kind of been different. You know, I know that I'm, you know, you got to be realistic with yourself. You know, I know I'm not going to be, you know, first round, second round, you know, stuff like that. You know, I'm not saying I'm not a first round player, but I definitely believe that I am. I have the talent for that. But, it, you know, that won't happen. So, like, a guy like me, man, I just, you know, I'm just ready for any opportunity. Keep my phone close to me and just see who calls me.
So one thing I know about you, and over the last couple of years getting to know you a little bit, all you need is an opportunity. All you need is a chance in a camp somewhere, and you're going to turn heads just because that's just kind of the personality you are, or the, and that you have.
Yes, sir. That's all you can ask for sometimes, man. That's all you can ask for.
Hey, DJ, man, we appreciate it. Let us know. Oh, you know what? One question I did have here I didn't get a chance to get to. If you could look back on two or three moments in your Aggie career that you'll always remember, what would those be?
One of the things that I really remember, I never forget, you know, the first fall camp at Utah State. You know, we have our little meetings, the end of the fall camp meetings, and I never forget my position coach and head coach letting me know that I was going to be starting the first game. You know, that was just a great feeling, just to know that all the work that I put in my whole life, I was able to finally start my first Division I football game. I never forget that, and I never forget, you know, that my junior year, just that successful season we had, you know, being, you know, ranked and, you know, just that whole season and then getting the MVP of the bowl game. You know, that's when, honestly, you know, this past season, you know, it wasn't the best one. But if you just look at, you know, the whole season and just go watch, you know, we never gave up no matter what, man. We always played to the end. You know, that's something that I always remember. And I'm gonna definitely carry that with me and stick my chest out and know that, you know, we gave it our all. You know, it didn't work out the best for us. But, you know, I definitely believe in, you know, the Utah State. And I believe in what the program is going to do in the future and what Coach Day and his coaching staff is doing for that team. And I definitely believe that they'll do great this upcoming season.
What do you think Jordan Love's going to do at the next level?
Man, I think he's the best QB in this draft, if you ask me. I mean, I definitely think he's going to go first round. And I know how Jordan is. You know, he's not really paying attention to all that stuff. You know, he's real humble, laid-back guy. You know, like he's kind of like the same as me as far as, like, just wanting an opportunity. But his situation is way different than mine. He's definitely going to get the first-round opportunity, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I definitely think he'd do great. And, you know, I'm rooting for him. I'm behind him 100%. I'm happy for him. And he deserves it all, man. He really does.
I love it. Hey, DJ, man, now I'll let you go. Appreciate it. Let us know if there's anything we can do for you. But just know you got a lot of people rooting for you back here in Utah. And excited to see your success at the next level.
Man, thank you so much, man. Definitely stay in touch.
Fun conversation with DJ Williams. Great catching up with him. Now, let's check in with Gerald Bright. And apologies on this one. Our phone connections weren't great in trying to dial up Gerald Bright. So the quality isn't great, but hopefully you still get the same enthusiasm and the same excitement from this young man. One of our favorites we've seen in recent memory at Utah State, Gerald Bright, right here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. We continue our conversations with players that have wrapped up their career at Utah State and moving on, hopefully, to the next level. Gerald Bright, running back. Former Aggie, kind enough to join us. Feels weird to say former Aggie. Feels like you should be playing at Utah State for more years to come, man. It feels weird you're done here.
Yeah, man, we're done, man. Them years fly by pretty fast, man. We had fun, so that's exactly what happened.
Well, it was fun. How much fun did you have playing at Utah State?
I had a lot of fun. It was a rough start at first, you know, with cultural shock and everything.
weather being completely different, you know. Sunshine going to the snow and to the mountains. So it was a tough adjustment, but, you know, I learned to love it and enjoy the experience, and probably one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
What was it like the first time you saw snow in Logan?
It was unbelievable. I thought it was fake. I thought everything was fake. I thought the mountains was just a nice little backdrop, you know, sell everybody out. It was that amazing. I was in awe. I couldn't believe the snow, the mountain, and none of that.
Let's talk a little bit about your decision to come to Utah State. What was it that brought you here to Logan?
I had no idea. I tell people that all the time. I had no idea. Utah State was my very last offer in high school, and you know, things happened, circumstances went down, and then I just ended up choosing Utah State, and I shocked everybody. So, there's really nothing behind it. I just chose Utah State. I didn't look a better way to say that. Let's just say, when I came to Utah State and I experienced it, I realized that I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that was so much fun to watch, especially your junior year when you shared carries with Darwin Thompson, is just the overall speed and athleticism you brought to the table. Did you anticipate that when you got here, you'd have that kind of impact on this running attack in Logan?
Yes, I did. Believe it or not, if you do some research with the coaches there, they'll tell you that when I came in after the season, I still always begged them to put me at running back. I always told them I wanted to play running back. But I stayed at receiver, and then they finally gave me a shot.
Yep.
And then, you know, I took advantage of my shot. And then it was like, wow, this kid told him to be my running back. Look what he's doing. So I'm glad that transition happened.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, because I started doing the games back in 2017, and you're playing a wide receiver, and then as the season moves on, they kind of work you more into fly sweeps coming out of the, you know, as a wide receiver, and then the Air Force game where you really blow up and you have a ton of yards there in 2017, and it just seemed really natural to slide you over there and play running back, and I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, man, me too. You and I both.
So what was, when you look back, what are some of your favorite moments? What are some of the games or some of the plays that you'll remember the most at Utah State?
I can't even pinpoint it, man. It's been on the spot. Well, one game that I can say I really enjoyed, I didn't play in it. It was 2015, I believe, when I really showed it. We played Boise State at home, and that's correct.
Yeah.
And the defense had about nine turnovers.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. They had a crazy amount of turnovers, and we finally beat BYU, and they were ranked like, I don't know what number, but that was a crazy experience, and I didn't even play that game, so I had magnified that number. You know. But as far as me playing in the field, I would say when we played the last season, 2018, and we played Boise State, And we silenced the crowd there. I mean, not Boise State. Who was it? BYU.
BYU, yeah.
BYU. Yeah, that game was super fun. Even the Boise game was fun, and we lost. So everything was fun. I can't pinpoint one thing. I liked it all. I liked the whole game.
You know, one game that I think I'll always look back and remember not only – you know, this offense, but this team overall, was that North Texas bowl game when, you know, the coaching staff leaves and you got a bunch of grad assistants kind of running things. And it's just, you know, it would have been really easy for you guys to say, you know what, we had a really good year, but, you know, look, our coaches are gone. It would have been really easy to kind of fold things up a little bit. But not only did you guys go out there and win that game, you dominated that game. And I think it always shows a lot of mental strength that you guys had to go out and put on a performance like that in that bowl game.
Yeah, man. Like the coaches say, you know, the coaches kept playing. They had that instilled in us, and our coaches knew that. Well, we were in our practice. We were up front about everything. We did everything the right way. As players, we held each other accountable for what we were doing and watching.
So I guess the question is here with this virus and everything else that's going on, how hard is it for you to
try to prepare and get ready for the NFL draft and hopefully an opportunity to get into some training camps?
Well, it's not as hard as you would think it would be. I have a lot of friends who has like gym equipment, so a lot of weights and a lot of things. Then also work out at this private gym down here. So, you know, I got everything I need to be successful and to do what I need to do to get who I need to be. And the chances of me getting to the league is very possible.
Yeah, for sure. Where are you living at right now, and what are you doing to try to prepare?
So I'm down in Pensacola, Florida, where I'm from.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing everything, drills, footwork, lifting weights, running, you know, still doing everything, you know, basically just football stuff, you know, that you've been doing ever since you was in college. So it's a lifestyle. It's not just a hobby. So
how weird is it to be at home knowing the college career is over with?
Honestly, I'm happy to be home. I miss home. Because when I was up there, I barely came back home anyway. So, you know, I'm enjoying being home right now and grinding. Well, you know, I was in high school. I came from here, and then I went to college by grinding here. So it feels good to come back home and grind hard and get back to the league. So
You're probably good coming back to that heat and humidity too, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. You ain't got to worry about no cold weather.
Yeah, because it's still like 40 degrees up here. So, yeah, I'm sure you're loving life down there. How weird was it? I mean, with all this virus stuff going on, you staying safe? You able to keep safe distances and all the stuff they're telling us to do right now?
Oh, yeah. So my city's on lockdown, man. So it's a lot of places closed, but it's a lot of places open too. Yeah. Don't make sense. Like it's open, but it's closed. Like restaurants are open, but the inside is closed. Everything is takeout, and you know, so social distance is pretty easy. You know, just stay in the house. Ain't nothing to do. You can't go nowhere. It's closed, so they make you stay home.
I know you don't have much of a choice. Hey, how excited are you going to be when you hear Jordan Love's name go? Hopefully, in the first round.
Turned up. I'm gonna be turned up. I just watched his video that they had, the road to whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, that video was tight, man. It gave me goosebumps. My dog Hart. yeah, Jordan Hart.
But I mean, you gotta take a lot of pride. A guy that you've been into battle with for the, you know, last several years is gonna get an opportunity to do something special, and you had a part in that career leading up to where he's at now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jordan Hart. I can't wait to see where he's gonna go. Wherever he go, boy, I'm going straight to Madden, and I'm playing Jordan Love on Madden. I'm going off too.
Max that out to 99 and let him go do his thing, right?
Yeah, let him do his thing.
I love it. Hey, man, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck. Keep us posted on how things are going, and just know we're gonna be rooting for you back here in Utah.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Anytime, man. Thank you.
So there's Gerald Bright. Let's wrap things up with a final conversation. Only 1 year with Utah State after transferring from the University of Utah, but what a year it was. Nearly 1,000 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns. Here's C.O.C. Mariner here on the Aggies All the Way podcast.
A wide receiver, C.O.C. Mariner, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing well. All right, so one thing we'd like to do first off is just kind of check on you guys and see how you're doing in this strange new world we're living in right now. You're trying to prepare for an opportunity in the draft and getting into camps and stuff like that, but it's tough when you can't talk to coaches and you can't talk to GMs. How have these last couple months been for you?
It's been different for the most part, and I feel like it's been with a lot of players, but it's kind of show you what you're willing to do with the chase your dreams. That's kind of position that a lot of us are in, kind of the what are you willing to do position. And I feel like a lot of us are taking advantage of it, not only physical, but in the mental aspect too. Kind of take care of things in that way too, and just getting your mental edge ready and just kind of staying ready for whenever you get those calls.
How hard has it been? Because you want to be in the best shape of your life and you want to get your workouts in and your weights in. How difficult has it been trying to find, you know, equipment and facilities to try to get that done?
I mean, for the most part, it's been too different. Like, right now, I just got done. I was in my aunt's backyard lifting weights with my younger cousins. So, like, things like that do help in a way that, you know, you can have family members in that way that can help you out with things like that. But you know, a lot of us aren't, you know, multimillionaires, so we don't have access to, like, in-home weight room. So you got to do it the best with what you have.
How have you been able to share maybe some of the, because Utah State unable to have a pro day, how have you been able to try to share some numbers, some times and stuff like that with the NFL GMs?
So I did my pre-day training out in Davie, Florida with Bomarito. And I put some pretty decent numbers there. I was able to get those numbers, some footage from them. Good. During that camp. And I was able to put a little highlight together, and I was able to post it on Twitter and send it to my agent. I know he sent out to a couple of scouts, got it by them and ran it by them. And now it's kind of a waiting game. And it's kind of see where things go from there. But I know it's a big thing of it is a waiting game. And, like, you just kind of don't know. So you don't even know who's seen your tape and who hasn't. And that's, like, the biggest thing. It's kind of like a big secret.
We always kind of like to have players kind of let us behind the curtain a little bit and see what life is like. Talk about, you mentioned your agent. What was that process like finding an agent, and who did you decide to go with and why?
It's a different process. You know, you got guys kind of pitching themselves to you all over again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being in high school when you got the coaches coming out to your house, things like that. You kind of got guys pitching themselves to you, kind of let you know where you stand with the draft, things like that, you know. You kind of go. You want to go to the guy you feel most comfortable with, because, you know, it's a big step. It's a big decision that you have to make, and you want to go with people that you trust. So, you know, you really want to trust the guy. You want to spend a little bit of time with him, get to know him. And my agent's name is Tom Sinello. I met him like midway through the season. We kind of kept it with each other throughout the season, and I ended up making the decision to go with him.
That's great. COC Mariner, kind enough to join us. Let's talk. Let's go back a year. What was it about Utah State that made you feel like this is where you wanted to finish up your college football career?
A lot of it was Coach A, just kind of seeing the person he was, what he stood for, the way he treated his players, the way he was willing to go to bat for his players. It stood out to me a lot. And him not being my position coach in Utah, I noticed that over there, even when he was my position coach. So it kind of took vibes to the type of person he was. And he was an easy person to follow and things like that. And then just from the players and, like, the program standpoint, I knew that they're heading in a good direction. They had a really, really solid season before. And even with the season we did have, we're still in the thick of things, you know, when we want to, and I was playing for a conference, and we kind of brought it over down to the wire, and just I still want to compete at a high level, and Utah State was giving me the opportunity to do so too.
You really had a tremendous final season at Utah State, played extremely well. What was it like? I mean, your first year in the system, you only have 1 year to play, and you only have a year to play one season. What was that like? Did you feel the pressure, and how were you able to step up as well as you did, because you had such a great year?
I wouldn't even say I felt pressure in the position I was in, because, you know, I kind of didn't have the career I expected to have at Utah, so it was kind of like going through the years, like, what did I have to lose at that point? And I took it like that through every game. It was like I had nothing to lose, so I might as well give it my all, and that's kind of what I took the season. And it was a blessing to work out for me. I was able to put some good numbers along with some of my other teammates. And Jordan Love was a good help, too. And having Caleb on the other side of me was also a bonus, too. But we came very far, and the offense was very receiver-friendly, and it worked in my favor.
You know, you jumped out on the scene in that Wake Forest game, probably made one of the most impressive catches of the year in that touchdown near the end of the second quarter. But how much fun did you have playing for Utah State? I mean, you almost had 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. Just a remarkable year.
I had a blast. Like I said, you know, it was fun. I felt like I was free out there. I didn't have a single worry in the world. I had to go out there and help my team win games. And when you get to play like that, when you're out there having fun, you'll be amazing what you actually can do. And that's what I did. I kind of felt like what the team did. Like I said, sometimes football and where I live, for the most part, you know, we're out every game and compete at a high level. And, you know, it's made it worth each other's company. And it's something I always remember.
What was it like playing with a former Utah teammate and Caleb Brett? Because the two of you really made a dramatic impact on that offense.
It was fun. I came in with Caleb. We came in the freshman year at Utah. And at Utah, he made the big splash first. And I was really excited for him. I remember the day he scored 2 touchdowns against Oregon. I feel like I scored 2 touchdowns. And we always kind of had that relationship. He's always been a hard worker, and I always kind of seen what he does. And he always been like, keep his head down and work hard kind of guy. Until the day, he's still one of those. And it was a blessing to finish my career with somebody I came in with.
Draft coming up next week. Jordan Love, good chance he goes in the first round. What's a team going to get when they welcome Jordan Love to their team?
You know, they're getting a competitor. And
you know, they're getting the guys swinging, they're getting the guys going to go out there, you know, give the team the best opportunity to win. And I like, you know, he's going to go out there and try to win the game. And people all the time like talk about his turnover things, but like that's the kid trying to win the game. And sometimes the ball in the road's way, but that's the kid out there trying to win the game. And that's something like respect for it all times. He went out there and put all he had with it. He was gonna do what it takes to win that game, and that's what they're gonna get. They're gonna get the kids out there compete and ready to play from day one.
I'm sure that was appealing to you when you decided to go to Utah State to play for a quarterback, play with a quarterback like Jordan Love. But what was it about him that maybe took you by surprise, or were there any things that when you actually started to play with him, you're like, wow, you know, I didn't expect this. What was it like, you know, in your first practice or two working out with him?
He was a super poised, you know, when he throws the ball, it looks super effortless. And that's what I noticed most, is if, like, you know, he stands tall in the pocket, when he throws the ball, it's definitely coming at you. You know, you got to have your hands ready. The ball is most likely coming with some velocity. He's just a natural quarterback. He makes this look easy. And when he's high, he's high. He's one of the toughest players to stop in the country.
When it's all said and done, what are some of the memories you're going to take away from Utah State? What are the one or two things that that really stand out to you when you remember this past season?
First and foremost, I'll say is just the people of Logan. That took my big surprise, because like the previous 4 years, I was in Salt Lake City, and like that's like, you know, the more popular part of Utah.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what to expect coming to Logan. I didn't know if I was going to like Logan. I know Logan would be too slow for me, but I end up loving it. It's definitely a place I could see myself calling home one day, and I love the people and I could see open me welcome arms, and I'm forever grateful for it. And the second thing I'd say is just getting back to loving the game of football again. That's what Logan brought me. They brought my love back to the game of football, and that's something else I got to think for again, just to be out there playing free for my last year and do some of the things we were able to do. I was really grateful for it.
So good to hear. COC, let us know what we can do for you. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, that NFL dream comes calling, and we'll be cheering for you all the way back here in Utah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great conversations. Hopefully we'll be talking about these individuals playing in the National Football League for many, many years to come. I'm Scott Girard. You've been listening to another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. Remember, available on any podcasting platform. Please subscribe, please download, and please rate, and let us know how we're doing. You're listening to the Aggies All the Way podcast right here from Learfield IMG College.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.